Luke chapter 1 verses 78 and 79. This is the reading of God's word. Oh boy, I have it wrong there. Anyway, this is the reading of God's word. Because of the tender mercy of our God, with which the sunrise from on high will visit us, to shine upon those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Amen. Let us pray together. We thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. We ask that your spirit will work in us to give us an ear to hear your word. Oh Father, as we hear your word, let our faith grow and we be more like your Son. And Father, through your word, let us have fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. And also through your word, let us see what is true of us because of what he has accomplished for us. We pray that your word will be preached correctly and all of us will not only hear but believe and obey your word. We thank you and we pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, this will be the last sermon on chapter 1. And we go on to chapter 2. Let me read to you again, 78 and 79. Because of the tender mercy of our God, with which the sunrise from on high will visit us, to shine upon those who sit in darkness and shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Last Lord's Day, we saw the praise of Zacharias called Benedictus. It is God's revelation through Zacharias, and later Luke wrote to us. It is divided into three sections, if you remember. First section, verses 68 through 75, are about the great salvation that our God accomplishes through the Messiah. And 76 and 77, this is about the mission of the John the Baptist. And the passage that we read, 78 and 79, it goes back to the mission of the Messiah. This is what Messiah will do after he is born in chapter 2. And he begins, verse 78 begins with, because of the tender mercy of our God. God's salvation for his people is because of the tender mercy of God. We must not forget this. The salvation of God is from the beginning to the end, the work of God. It is the holy plan of God that he planned before the creation. Our salvation is not accomplished by our own good works. See, all the other religions in this world, they all say that the salvation is by our own good works. Only the Christianity says that it is by God's grace. Meaning that even though we truly deserve God's eternal judgment, God still loves us and saves us. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And that, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. And God accomplished this salvation in and through the Messiah. And this salvation was, as we saw before, promised by God, even from the Old Testament. So the latter part of that verse 78, with which the sunrise from on high will visit us. The sunrise, as we have seen last week, it refers to the Messiah. It refers to Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 1 verse 16b, and his face, Jesus' face, was like the sun shining in its strength. Some scholars translate this word as the rising star or the blossoming shoot. Even then, they all point to the Messiah. And I give you a Bible the verses here, you go home and read them. Numbers 24 verse 17b and Revelation 22 verse 16 and Isaiah 11 1 and Jeremiah 23 5. It talks about Messiah as a blossoming shoot and also rising star. It says the sunrise from on high, sunrise from heaven will visit us. He comes to the earth. God comes to the earth. Chapter 2 will show us how God comes to us as a man. And in Luke chapter 1 verse 79 then tells us what that Messiah will do and accomplish. Let me read to you that verse 79. To shine upon those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death. To guide our feet into the way of peace. So you see two things that the Messiah will accomplish. He will come first to shine upon those who sit in darkness and shadow of death. Second, He comes to guide our feet unto the way of peace. So today's sermon will be about these two things. But it's not just you learning about these two things, you're learning about what has happened to you. Because this is exactly what Jesus has done for you. This is your reality. So when you come to this kind of doctrine, don't think of it as some kind of, you know, you're studying business theory. But when you do business, it doesn't matter because you're not going to follow that theory that you have learned. That's not how Christian life is. Doctrine is your life. This is your reality. So let's find out then what is true of you. Darkness and death, these point to the result of sin, the wage of sin. To sit upon those who sit, no, to shine upon those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death. A similar thing is found in Isaiah chapter 9 verse 2. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. In Isaiah, God tells us how this will happen. Isaiah 9 verse 6, for a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, and Prince of Peace. So it tells us that all this will be accomplished by a child, by Jesus Christ, whose birth we will read about in chapter 2. So darkness and death, these are the realities of God's eternal judgment. Dark was one of the plague. Darkness, one, it was the one of the plague that God used to judge the Egyptians. Amos chapter 5 verse 18 speaks of the judgment day of our God and it says, alas, you who are longing for the day of the Lord, for what purpose will be the day of the Lord be to you? It will be darkness and not light. So the judgment day is described as a darkness. Thus Colossians chapter 1 verse 13 describes our salvation as follows. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. So salvation is God rescuing you from the darkness. And death, it is the wage of sin, the penalty of sin. Death is the reality of God's eternal judgment. It is eternal death. God abandons the sinners forever and the sinners will dwell eternally in hell with the never-ending torment and the eternal separation from God. Those who are sitting in darkness and the shadow of death, or according to Isaiah, those who walk in darkness and who live in a dark land, these are fallen in sin and they are under God's judgment. And sin, the Bible says, is the cause. Psalm 107 verse 10, there were those who dwelt in darkness and the shadow of death, prisoners in misery and chain, And verse 11 says, because they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned or despised the counsel of the Most High. Isaiah 59 describes the same reality. People who are sitting in the darkness and death as a life that belongs to a blind. Isaiah 59 verse 9 and 10, therefore justice is far from us and righteousness does not overtake us. We hope for light, but behold darkness, the brightness, but we walk in gloom. We grope along the wall like blind men. We grope like those who have no eyes. We stumble at midday as in the twilight. Among those who are vigorous, we are like dead men. Like dead men. This is how God describes people who are in sin. But Bible is about the good news. The good news is that our God is that God that promised light to these people who are sitting in darkness and death. Our verse says the sunrise will shine upon those who sit in darkness and shadow of death. See, darkness and shadow of death, this points to the reality of this sinful world, which is under the judgment of God, as we talked about it already. And we see the similar description in Genesis. Genesis chapter 1 verse 2, the earth was formless and void, and the darkness was over the surface of deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of waters. So we see darkness. Then the creation of God begins. Genesis chapter 1 verse 3, let there be light, and there was light. Now, that is exactly what we are seeing in our verse. Jesus will come and shine the light, just like what we see in Genesis chapter 1. This is a new creation. God shines the light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death. The Bible tells us that our salvation is the new creation. It is shining the light upon His people. God shining the light upon His people. It's like a blind opening his or her eyes and now they see. It is the resurrection from the dead. Bible describes this new creation in many ways. God rescuing us from the domain of darkness. God calls the sinner who are fallen in sin and who are under God's judgment as the children of darkness. But God will come and shine the light upon them to make them the children of light. Isaiah 9 verse 2 again, the people who sit in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in dark land, the light will shine on them. Micah chapter 7 verse 8 and 9, do not rejoice over me, O my enemy. Though I fall, I will rise. Though I dwell in darkness, the Lord is a light for me. He will bring me out to the light, and I will see His righteousness. This is what happened to you. In the birth of Jesus Christ, then, we see the coming of that promised light. Jesus Christ is the light, and He shines upon us now and forever. John chapter 1 verse 1 and verse 4 through 5 and verse 9. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And there was the true light, which, coming into the world, enlightens every man. It's talking about Jesus Christ. He's the light. John chapter 8 verse 12, then Jesus again spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. Brothers and sisters, you were the children of darkness. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 8, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Jesus has shown the light upon you and me. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. This is our present reality of salvation. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 6, for God who said, light shall shine out of the darkness. God who said, let there be light, is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. 1 John chapter 2 verse 8b, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Here it means that the Holy Spirit has given us faith to believe the truth through the Word. When Jesus shines His light on us, what will happen to us? We will begin to see the light. We begin to see the truth. So that when Word is taught and Word is preached, you will know the truth. You will know Jesus Christ through His Word. That's what happens when God shines His light upon us. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 19, so we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in the darkness until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your heart. The Word of God that testifies about Jesus Christ is like a lamp shining in a dark place. And this is what happened to you. You may say, how come I believe and they don't, even though we read the same Bible? Well, God has shown His light upon you, but He did not do that to that person. Unless He shines that light, he will never know the truth. And the Word of God, God uses as that light. It's like as you study the Word, as you hear the Word, as you read your Word, it's like light shining upon you so that you may see, that you may know the truth. And this has happened to you. This is why you are a member of this church and you are a Christian. But that's not the only thing that we see in verse 78. This Messiah, when He comes, He will do not only shine His light upon us, but 78b, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Here, peace is not, you know, worldly peace. I mean, the world talks about peace also. But here, peace is peace with God. And there is no peace with God unless our problem of sin is taken care of. Because if we have sin, there's only wrath of God for us. There's no peace. The light has shone. Light has come upon us. It was shine upon to save the sinners. Meaning that a sinner must believe by the work of the Holy Spirit through God's Word, the truth that says Jesus is the Messiah and that He bore our sins and died upon that cross to pay for all our sins, and that He lived a perfect righteous life for us, and His righteousness has been imputed to us through faith. Through that faith, God cleanses and forgives us our sins and calls us righteous in His sight. Only then we have peace with God. the world speaks of false peace. Jeremiah chapter 8 verse 11, they heal the brokenness of the daughter of my people superficially, saying peace, peace, but there is no peace. Jeremiah 23 verse 16 and 17, thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who are prophesying to you. They are leading you into futility. They speak a vision of their own imagination, not from the mouth of the Lord. They keep saying, those who despise me, the Lord has said, you will have peace. And as for everyone who walks in the stubbornness of his own heart, they say to them, calamity will not come upon you. It's like today, even though that person do not trust Christ, and they don't understand what Christ has done for you, but the pastor keep telling them, God loves you, God loves you, and the judgment will not come upon you. It will, unless you hold on to Christ. They will say, peace, peace, but there's no peace. And that's every peace that the world speak of. There is no eternal peace with God in this world. They may end all wars, which will never happen, but let's say they do. And they may even love and care for each other, but without Christ, they will all end up in hell to hate one another and hate God forever. So what peace are they talking about? It's false peace. Any peace that is apart from Christ is false. This is why, you know, sometimes I hear things like, my best friend is non-Christian. What are you talking about? You're being deceived. Because non-Christians who love each other so much, they will end up in hell because they don't trust Christ. Then what will happen? They will continue to love one another? No. Without Christ, there is no peace. This is why you cannot join certain groups or certain things out there, because it's never about Jesus Christ. And don't think that by their movement somehow peace will come. No. Apart from Christ, there is no true peace. Don't be deceived. And what is it mean to us that I have peace with certain things apart from Christ? What does that mean to me as a Christian? Oh, because I compromise my Christian faith, is that why I have peace with that? I'd rather not have peace if I have to compromise what I believe, what the Bible tells me. But even Christians, they compromise their faith just to be peace with whatever out there. No, you tell them, no, God says this, and guarantee that peace will completely destroy as soon as you say, God says this. There is no peace apart from Christ. So you want to have peace with the world, compromising your faith? You know, sometimes because we're weak, and I'm including myself, that we may do that. But the Holy Spirit will help us to repent of that sin. Jesus died, of course, for our sins, but He died because He did not compromise with the world. I know, life is hard, and you come to church and I preach and life becomes harder. I'm sorry. That's not my intention. But we need to live according to the Word. What happened to all those martyrs that we hear in history? Do you see martyrs today who are come out and say, I'll die for Christ? You know, we hear about this young man, you know, who grew up in the church and they give themselves to God and they're ready to die for Jesus Christ. Do we see those people today? Bible never changed. But it seems like Christians are becoming weaker and weaker and weaker. And our faith is becoming weaker and weaker. So I pray for you young people that when you grow up, when you be the leaders of the church, by God's grace, that this church will be better church. They will imitate Christ more and witness Jesus Christ more. I've been praying for this ever since, like, even before I became pastor. And when I was younger, I had hope. Looking at these young people. But more and more I see young people, humanly speaking, hope disappears. Because it seems like the next generation is worse than previous. But that is not what God wants us to be. The next generation must be better. I will continue to pray for you, young people. And I really pray that God will bless you. That when you become adults, you will be a better Christian than us. Better Christian than me. I have hope. Because you know Jesus Christ way earlier than me. Or the my generation people that I talk to. That's my hope. Because you know Jesus Christ at a very young age, that when you become leaders of the church of Jesus Christ will be a better church. This is your purpose. This is what you try to strive. Yes, do your best to go to good college and make money. I'm not against that, but do your best to be a better Christian than your parents and than your pastor. Please. It doesn't mean we just put everything on you and we're not going to. No, we need to do that too, but you have more years ahead of you. And I thank you. I thank God every time I see you in this worship, you're sitting there. And, you know, like Andrew, he's not paying attention, but I thank God for him. Because he's going to hear. Maybe just one word today, but as he grows, he will hear more and more. And more he hears, we have hope. Because it's through the Word of God. So yes, it's hot. Yes. Our life is just tiring. I know. But God is our only hope. Only God can make us that person who is like Christ. Without Christ, don't be deceived. It's all fake. It's all temporary. And this world is never neutral. It's anti-God. The Bible guarantees it. You gotta come to the Bible. That's the only way that we understand and have this peace with God is only through Jesus Christ. Because of sin, peace with God is broken. Look at the history. As soon as sin came into the world, a brother is killed by his own brother. That's how the world is. And a husband betrays his wife and vice versa. As soon as sin comes in, Adam blames Eve and Eve blames. It's such a blaming game. Just like what we see today, everybody blames everybody else. But it's my sin that separates me from God. But thank God that through Jesus Christ that even my sin cannot separate me from God anymore. But that's what was separating me from God. It's my sin. And it's no one else's fault. It's your sin. Oh, I'm just sick of this young generation blaming this, blaming that. It's sin, and God took care of it. So go and work very hard and live your life with that strength that God gives you. Don't be oppressed by this world and their ideologies. This is what we see. A brother killing a brother, that's exactly, as soon as sin comes in, that's what happened. But again, the good news of God is that peace is promised from the Old Testament. Ezekiel 37:26, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It will be an everlasting covenant with them. And I will place them and multiply them and will set my sanctuary in their midst forever. The Messiah comes and fulfills this promise. Isaiah 9:6 again, for a child will be born and his name is Prince of Peace. There are so many Old Testament verses that says the same thing. The Leviticus chapter 3, we learn about peace offering. It is for peace between God's people and peace between God and His people. And the blood is sprinkled and the penalty of sin must be paid to have that peace. All points to the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The cross is peace offering. Colossians chapter 1 verse 20, and through Him, through Jesus, to reconcile all things to Himself, having made peace through the blood of His cross. Through Him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. Jesus Christ is our peace. No matter how much you hate me, no matter how much I hate you, if Jesus is in between me and you, you and I, we're going to love each other forever. We're going to have peace forever. That's the reality. It's not what I determined to do to have peace with you. It's not because I'm so generous, I forgive you. No, it's because of Christ. Only Jesus Christ. And no matter how much we try to be nice to one another, and we might even fake the world and show how we are so nice to each other, but without Christ in between, we will hate one another in hell forever and ever. Jesus Christ is our peace. Luke chapter 2 verse 14 says, the birth of Jesus Christ. Glory to God in the highest and on earth peace among men with whom He is pleased. And only Jesus Christ give us the true peace. John chapter 14 verse 27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives to, do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled and let it be fearful. Did I say that peace without Jesus Christ is false? Just in case, I say it one more time. The true peace is the eternal peace with God. Isaiah 54 verse 10. For the mountains may be removed and hills may shake, but my loving kindness will not be removed from you, and my covenant of peace will not be shaken, says the Lord who has compassion on you. Let me end with this. I told you I try to be shorter. Hear your reality in Jesus Christ. As I read our passage one more time, the light has been shone upon you, and our feet have been led into the way of peace. This is what is true of us in Jesus Christ. But let us remember how this reality has been accomplished by our Lord Jesus Christ. On the cross, Jesus was treated as a child of darkness. Remember what happened as he dies on the cross? Matthew chapter 27 verse 45. And from the sixth hour, darkness fell upon all the land until the ninth hour. As Jesus dying on the cross, the darkness fell upon the land. Do you see what is happening? But the Father, even though His Son is dying on the cross, He did not shine upon Him. Because He was bearing our sins, He was paying for our sins. The darkness covers Him. Do you see it then? Jesus is receiving us judgment in our place. And He will be buried in a dark grave. And also on the cross, peace between God the Father and God the Son has been broken. You know, this is, to me, this is more serious than He dying on the cross physically. That peace between the Father and the Son has broken on the cross. There's no more peace. Because God's wrath was being poured out on the Son. Because He was bearing yours and my sin. You know, God, why would He do this? Oh yeah, so that we could have peace with Him. But why would He want peace with us? We'll never know. But that is the good news. He loves you. So whatever that makes you feel like He's not loving you, maybe things are not going the way that you want in your life. Maybe you're having a hard time. I understand. But don't ever go to a point, even little bit of hint, God does not love you. Because He does love you. And the cross is the proof that He will have peace with you, even if His peace with His Son be broken. That's how much He loves you. Yes, Father abandons the Son on the cross. But Jesus has been resurrected after 3 days. The sunrise has been risen to shine the light upon us, to make us the children of life forever. And that's exactly what happened to us. And now in Jesus Christ, we enjoy the participation in peace among the Trinity. Our Lord says to us, you are the light of the world. Grace and peace to you now and forever. Don't just look at yourself in terms of what's happening in the world, but look at yourself in terms of what God has done for you. That what is true of you now because of what Christ has done, that's the only way you're going to triumph over the world. World will bring you down. It will drag you down. It will oppress you. And you're going to feel like there's no hope. Oh, I cannot do this anymore. No. Lift your eyes from those things and look at what Jesus has done for you. Go to the Bible. This is the only thing that could save you. The truth about Christ. I really believe, and you know, Amy will agree with me, life's going to get harder and harder for Christians. Unless that Christian compromise with the world and just go with the world, yeah, then there's no problems. But it will be hard. So please pray for those young people, younger brothers and sisters. Because they're going to face really hard world. Who is truly against God, but they're not ashamed to show it. And only way that we will triumph over this world is that God shines that light, the truth to us. That we may know the truth. That we may know Jesus Christ and what He has done and what He has accomplished for us. That's only way that you will triumph over this world. Otherwise, either you live that defeated life or you will compromise. But no, the victorious life is ours. Because Jesus has already accomplished it for us. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace that you pour out to us. Thank you for the light that you shine upon us. The truth that you cause us to believe. Oh, let that light shine, that we may see the path to you, path to our eternal home, heaven. Shine brightly, that we may clearly see the truth. Bless us, God. We thank you and we pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.